talk about video games to me and my two best friends going on.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to i3A's Premier Podcast. I am your host, Frank, and this is Mandate Radio. I don't know why I changed it up after all these years, but it really threw me off my rhythm, you know what I'm saying? No Pete. Pete's busy using an old-timey adding machine to handle his stuff. But I've got Fitz. Hey, Fitz.
Hey, 200 episodes in. Time to change that intro.
That's right. And really trip yourself up, which, you know, hey.
It's amazing, like, how much just altering a little bit will throw off your rhythm. Because it's just, like, it's almost, like, automatic. You don't even have to think about it at this point.
Yeah.
And then, like, one misstep, you, like, get out of your robot phase. It's like, what comes next?
Yes. Yeah.
How do I talk now?
There's definitely like a groove that I fall into for that. Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to i3A's Premier Podcast. This is Mandate Radio, and I am your intrepid host, Frank Collins. That's usually me. Yeah.
Joining me as always.
That's the TM'd, you know, put that on the t-shirt. I mean, really probably, if we ever, you know, and we won't, but if anyone ever cares, we could probably get some Happy Wednesday, everybody, t-shirts.
Dude, that'd be awesome,
wouldn't it?
With the entire opening quote,
yeah,
just like in gigantic block letters, like going over the sleeves and stuff.
Oh my god, yes, we can get our own Snapchat filter. I think you
can. That's
when
you know you've made it.
I think you can do that. You can get like a geotagged Snapchat thing. Pay for it. People do it for like weddings and stuff.
Dude, we could make some pretty dope swag.
We could. We would need, like, you know, the young people to care about us, because I'm pretty sure that's how the merch moves, is like, oh, mom, all I want is this PewDiePie shirt.
PewDiePie. But what if we just did it for us? Like, who cares about selling it to other people? Just make, like, one custom printed, like, you know, bathrobe or something.
Yes, let's pick the one article of clothing that no one in the public will ever see.
it's just for us. That's the theme.
Even you, if I had a bathrobe, wouldn't see it. Although I recently discovered that the Giant Eagle by me has a whole section of port wines. So you and I need to drink port and play some chess sometime.
Do they really?
They do.
A whole section of port?
Yes.
How are there that many kinds? I thought it was like, it's port or it's other port.
It's port or it's nort.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
That's quality. Yeah. So like, okay. So in my fancy Giant Eagle, and I say that fully aware that this is Northeast Ohio fancy Giant Eagle.
It's a market district, right?
It is a market district.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah, actually, they've got like live music on Fridays. It's like a whole thing.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They have people up there, you know, usually doing covers of... I almost said Enya, but there's no Enya covers.
How does one cover Enya?
Yeah. Who knows? Only time. Am I right? Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Big Enya fan. No, the whole liquor and wine section, which the aforementioned Mary Charles has discovered she likes Chardonnay.
Oh.
So usually on Fridays we'll hit that up, grab ourselves a bottle to try, and, you know.
Does she prefer it oaked or unoaked?
You know, I don't know if we've got that far. I don't like wine.
Mm-hmm.
I take that back. Sweet wines are fine, because we call the sweet wines teacher juice, because after a long week, you need some teacher juice, something you can just slam.
You mean like rosé or like Riesling, something like that?
Yeah, but the rosé Riesling. Yeah, Moscato's, sometimes bubbles, but most of the time it's like, you know, raspberry wine or blackberry wine.
God, that stuff's so good. I remember like going to like A-Mart when I was younger and just getting like Arbor Mist, like sweet tropical fruit wine for like $5. It's like fucking grape juice. Like,
exactly. Who wouldn't
want to drink that?
It's teacher juice is what it is. So yeah, anyway, in that section, there's like a bunch of rows of like kind of the big popular styles. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little section that is like, you know, wines from different parts of the world. So you can get a French wine or an Italian wine. And tucked away in the corner in that area is a port section.
It's like, that's awesome.
It's like two like 7 foot tall shelves of ports.
Oh shit. That is way more port than I thought.
Yeah.
Anyone could have varieties of.
And like, I didn't even know where to buy port like at all. And now I have a spot. So
now you could like, you could go on a port journey, like taste excursion for like years.
Yes.
Not only can you try port, you can try all of the port.
Yes. I can try all kinds of ports, which is exciting to me. Come next winter time, I can snuggle up with my slippers and my Happy Wednesday, everyone, bathrobe, and enjoy a pipe and a port.
When we finally do our like our long planned cabin trip on a weekend or something, I commit to getting a nice bottle of port.
Yes,
for us to sample at our leisure.
Oh yes. Ideally, it's one that we have to lay on its side and tap so that it's you know when it settles.
Is that a thing?
I guess ports have sediment in them, some of them. So like they make things that like they're like wood racks that hold the port on its side. Mm-hmm. And then they make like devices that like actually tap the bottle.
That's so cool.
And then you like or you can decant it as well.
Okay.
That's actually what a decanter is really for, is like you pour the port in there and then all the junk you don't want settles, and then you can pour from your decanter.
Yes. So as much as I talk about port, which is fairly frequently, I know like nothing about it. So this is very educational.
Yes. I've tried port, but I did not have it in like the way you want port. I had it in a hot summer day in Amish country.
Yeah, don't you? It's like a wintry beverage, like best enjoyed by like a blazing fire.
Yes, a crackling fire. Drifts. Yes, that's what you want. And you want to do something intellectual, you know, like argue with Pete. That's really what you want to do over port. And, you know, strong intellectual pursuits. Like, he needs to tell me why I'm wrong about something. I need to go, indeed.
So I saw Pete this last weekend.
Yes.
And Caitlin and I went to a concert with him and Melinda. And we got into, like, a fairly heated discussion about, like, the Democratic candidates for president. Mm-hmm. And, like, why there's only really one choice. From the Pete and Melinda household perspective. And so that was just really interesting. It was like everyone cared enough about it. Mm-hmm. So that it was like engaging and like everyone wanted to get their viewpoint across, but it wasn't like so full of vitriol that it was like unfun to talk about. So right. It was like in that nice kind of like respectful yet passionate debate,
which are the best.
Yeah,
when you can walk away from it comfortably knowing like, you know, I know what I believe and I'm cool with what you believe. Like when it devolves is when you have someone there who's trying to change someone's mind, because that can't be done, I don't think. At least not in a, you know, pre or post concert discussion.
My vaulting oratory will surely change the tide of this person's beliefs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's no... I mean, you could probably start off the conversation by saying, like, is there anything that would change your mind? And then, like, do that thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know. I mean, I've seen... I watched a clip of flat earthers. I guess there's a documentary, maybe it was on Netflix, that was, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we're, you know, flat earthers, we're going to prove the earth is flat. And they're like, all right, we're going to have, we have this box with a hole in it and a camera. And if we have a, this person, you know, X number of feet away with a light. And if he holds the light at at chest level and we can see the light through the hole in the box, the earth is flat. But if he has to raise it over his head to accommodate the curvature, it's round, right? And so then, of course, the guy has to hold the light over his head for them to see it. And the guy just goes, huh, that's interesting. Didn't change his mind. nothing you can do for certain people.
Wait, so he just said that's interesting. Like, did he actually mean that? Or was just like he thought it was a polite thing to say, but like he just wanted to ignore it? Or like, did he actually consider it and like find it interesting yet against like the overwhelming other evidence he's seen of flat earth? Like it was but an acorn at the foot of the great tree.
Yeah, it's from what I gathered, so the clip ended there, right?
Yeah, there's no way to know. It's just more of like a I'm curious question.
From what I gathered, my brother actually watched the documentary and told me about it. And I guess that like that didn't change their minds. Interesting was like, we must have done something wrong in our setup that we're getting these results. And I guess that they did numerous other tests in there. And like, they're at the stage where, you know, they're already like, you know, prejudging, you know, people and organizations because of the globe thing. Like they, yeah. I guess in the documentary, my brother told me, you're getting this third hand.
That's the best way. That's how all good scientific fact is established.
Yeah.
I need someone to watch something and then tell me about
and tell my
someone
friend.
Else's interpretation of it.
Yeah. But I guess that they go to like a NASA museum or something and they hop into like a, there's like an exhibit where you like sit in a mock cockpit and then it like takes you over the earth and
a mock pit,
a mock pit, a Nort. they stick you in, or you get in and there you have to, you know, it plays a video and it, you know, does the rumble thing and it makes you, you know, launch and then you can see the round earth. the spherical earth, I should say. Discs can be flat, kids. check out records if you've ever heard of those.
Time is a flat disc.
Time is a flat disc. But anyway, they get in and they're like, it's not working, not working. Stupid NASA, you can't even fake it in this video. Ha 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 ha, you know. And then they get out and I guess the cameraman just like pans down about 4 feet and there's a giant red button that says start between the two chairs that they just, you know, didn't even. So that's the caliber of people that,
yeah,
you know, we're doing this. And I guess they got like, you know, he was explaining to me some setup they did where they got this like ridiculous gyroscope that was accurate to within whatever, some huge, you know, insanely tight tolerance. And then like, they're like, if this moves X amount of degrees, then, you know, and then like, of course it moved and like, well, something's wrong with the gyroscope.
There's always an excuse at that point. Like mm-hmm. there's just, it's almost like more impressive to keep holding on to a belief that just flies in the face of all like observable conditions. In fact,
yeah.
Like the amount of dogma and just like dedication to a belief. Especially when you have so much evidence to the contrary, it's impressive amount of faith and like hard headedness.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've read a little bit about what causes someone to, like, believe that. And mm-hmm. and that kind of is, like, coincides with things like the anti-vax movement.
Yeah.
Like, why there are some people that are, like, in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary, I will choose to believe this. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do, from what I've read, like people searching for a way to make themselves unique,
yeah,
will tend to be drawn to this and other conspiracy theories because they're like, no, like I'm right and everyone else isn't right. You know, like I'm unique in the fact that I have this knowledge.
And it gives you comfort in the fact that like you think you are unique for holding this belief. And so you're not like other people. So you're kind of forging your own like sort of identity. And you get entrance into like a select group mm-hmm. of like people that are like of like mind, mm-hmm. which is like a lot more comfortable than just like established fact, which is just like everyone else believes it. Mm-hmm. It's much more like, well, I don't know, not inclusive, but kind of like the people that believe that kind of stuff feed off each other. And there's like a community there mm-hmm. that like, it feels like a way to like simultaneously like distinguish yourself, but also like find a group of people that will accept you.
Yeah, exactly. it fills a lot of the needs that they must have is what it seems like, you know?
And that's why people are fascinating. Just like,
yeah. Humans are strange, strange creatures.
Because every human like has that sort of need. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of like how you go about filling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, interesting stuff. I really just like all the explanations for like, you know, the kind of rudimentary stuff like gravity.
I was watching this it was like this point by point like takedown of Ancient Aliens as a concept. Like they would just show a clip and then just like identify all the underlying assumptions and like point out why they were wrong. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
That sounds good. Aliens.
The guy like the guy with the orange face and like the tall weird hair. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking yes. about.
I like how he has an orange. I never knew his face was orange. Is it really orange?
It becomes like more like tannish and orangey as like the episodes go on. Like he certainly undergoes like a transformation. His name's like Georgios or something. Like he's a character.
He's our thumbnail bigger. For this show for sure. Video games. So yeah. Welcome to Mandate Radio. Fitz, thank you so much for coming. Pleasure as always.
Thanks for hosting me.
Yeah. I played a couple of games.
Nice.
One of which video and the other not video.
Games.
Mm-hmm. So
please tell.
I'll briefly talk about the not video game, which was Pathfinder. Yay.
Nice.
Yes.
Did you play with your sibs?
No, I actually played with Mary, which was... I had it in my head that playing, you know, one person like D&D or Pathfinder was just not how the game is meant to be played. And truly, it's like not, I guess, like a lot of the mechanics don't really work. Like they didn't, for example, Mary's playing a witch, okay? And her witch character, the witch class is designed as like a buff debuff machine, okay? Mm-hmm. So in like the combat element of the game, it's like we had to kind of like, you know, funnel her into spells that like maybe weren't like thematically what she wanted, but like, you know, you need to be able to do some damage.
Right.
Because she's got like 10 armor class, which, you know, on a d20, you know, over 50% chance to hit. And then, you know, the enemies get plus whatever. So if they run up on her, like she's smoked, regardless of how much damage she can do.
Right. And plus buff debuff is like, it's always better to augment the skills of other party members. It's never going to be what you want on a solo run.
Yeah, it's like
you can debuff them to hell, but then how do you take advantage of the debuff?
Yeah, and like some of the abilities are really powerful. Like if she were in a group, like
yeah,
she can like debuff an enemy so that it like, you know, has a penalty on like attack rolls, and she can do that like every turn as a bonus action.
Oh wow!
So like it'd be beastly if you know she's sitting in the back and just like hexing people left and right, but
yeah,
you know, not not the way it's going to go. So that means I had to do a little like different design work on my side, which is interesting. I've also learned that single players will chew through content way faster than a party will.
So you ran out of stuff a little bit faster than you thought you would have.
I actually did not run out because as I was spending my Saturday morning prepping, getting things together, I always tend to overcreate content anyway. But for this instance, I was like, oh, well, she's like one person. And like, this is all like all the stuff I'm doing right now is gravy. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, she got through most of the gravy in what I had prepared, which
she
luckily
got into the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. She got into them taters. So luckily we stopped kind of right before some encounters are coming up that like, I know roughly what I want to do, but I haven't like, basically like, I know there's enemies coming. Right.
Right.
And I know roughly what I want them to be, but I don't like have their stat blocks written out. So like combat becomes really hard.
For sure. Were there any decisions she made that surprised you?
Oh yeah. Right away. So the general layout of the setting so far is that she is a fourth level witch who lives outside of town, and all the villagers will go to her for like potions. And like some of them are real and some of them are not. Like she's kind of like, I got a problem I can't fix. Like I'm going to the witch, right? So she's not unfriendly, but people are kind of scared of her. And in the past, in the story wise, oh, go ahead.
Can I just say that sounds exactly like the witches, like slash sorceresses in the Witcher universe, like. There's like a witch that like lives in a cabin like outside of town and like heals people, but like sometimes it takes a lot. Like the person supplicating themselves like has to give a lot to get a good healing, and like they're all afraid of her, but they need her. It's like this really weird like push and pull. Like it's like a necessary evil, but like they wish. They didn't have to rely on her, but they do, kind of thing.
Right. And like a lot of it is like Mary was kind of big on the idea of potion making. And that's where like some of the cures are real and some are not. Like there really is no such thing as a love potion in the world, you know. But she like will make concoctions of like roots and herbs and give it to, you know, people who come and ask. You'll basically always get something at a cost, but like whether or not it's real is not always, you know, no one's like, I need a thing that's going to give me exactly +2 to my strength. It's like, you know, I need to be strong so I can fight this guy, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Which sometimes she can provide and sometimes not. And in the town over the past few weeks, like, so in the past 3 weeks, 2 children have gone missing. Broad daylight during the day. So, of course, you suspect the witch that's out of town.
Right.
Right.
Using them for some like weird experiment or whatever.
Right. So, you know, one day she's out harvesting herbs and three city guards, 2 kind of lackeys and the captain of the guard show up on mission from the local lord who lives in kind of the gated part of town. Big house, basically saying, hey, you're coming with us and going to there, right?
With for the questioning, that kind of thing.
Right, with the assumption that, like, hey, you're under arrest. And so I anticipated, you know, saying, like, okay, like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'll go, yeah, I'll clear my name. Immediately, it was fight time.
Like, all I wanted to do was ask some questions, and she was just ready to, like, well, you know, I kind of see it from her point of view. Like, do you really want to, like, fight your way out of a castle full of guards or just fight 3 right now and not have to go?
Right. And, like, part of...
I like it, Mary.
Part of her kind of character story was that she was, like, a vagrant witch. Like, she will move from place to place and set up shop. Like, people eventually, like, run her out of town. So, you know... She's been here for a while and people have gotten used to her, and like maybe it was time to like
she's overstayed her welcome. Yeah.
Smoke these 3 dudes and move on. But the whole point here is that like I was unprepared to fight with those dudes. They were like dudes who were just, you know, bringing you to a place to get the story rolling.
So they didn't have stats, or?
Yeah, I didn't have a stat block for them. I mean, I know I was going to, if I had to, I would have used the default guard and captain of the guard in the monster manual. Or the NPC codex, one of the two, has a stat block for them. She actually could have probably handled them if she could have, like, kept her distance. It's also kind of funny because she doesn't quite get, like, the... She's a spellcaster, and she can cast, like, one or two second-level spells a day.
Right? Yeah.
And that's it. And you're out of second-level spells. One of which is invisibility. So you get one, you know, you get one cast, like, a day, like, per eight-hour rest. And I was like, you're out picking herbs, and you hear a twig snap. She's like, I go invisible. I'm like, all right, girl, you're invisible.
And how often can you rest? Like, do you have to find a bed and stuff? Or could you just, like, so you could, like, technically you could have an encounter, sleep, and then just be ready to go invisible again after you do your once per day kind of thing?
Yes. I mean, so that is a tendency. You know, players are risk averse because you don't want your character to die.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're welcome to do that. If you're taking a dungeon, it's like, okay, we cleared one room. We're going to take an 8-hour rest in this room. Barricade the doors and we're sleeping.
Yep.
That's a perfectly legitimate strategy. However, like, I'm not going to let you do that too many times.
Oh, you know? Come on. You can't just, like, I'm imagining, like, twig snaps in forest, go invisible, it was just a deer, and then you immediately fall to your knees and go to sleep right there on the forest floor.
Exactly, that's what you want to avoid. Like, it's up to the table to develop a narrative style. Like, when I play with my siblings, it's far more humorous than, like, what Mary and I were doing. It was a little more serious.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's funny because, like, Mary got her first taste of, like, being a powerful character because she's fourth level. She has some spells. She can do some things. Yeah. And so, like, someone basically, you know, just asked her a question and she didn't like the tone of my voice. And so she was like, I'm getting ready to, like, use burning hands on this guy.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, no, she had kind of good reason.
Okay.
The one thing that hasn't quite set in yet is, like, the... Like, my actions have consequences in, like, a greater scope than normal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, like, in theory, what I should have done is have, like, you know, guards swarm her. Because she did it basically, like, at the front door of, like, the high house, you know? She, like, and it was the Lord's stepson.
Right. And so, like, if you would have been able to sneak and assassinate him or something, maybe, but, like, you reached out and you had fiery hands right in front of full view of everyone in broad daylight.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Should have been some consequence.
Yeah, it's like 10:30 a.m. and you're, like, light your hands on fire. Now, I did have the guards, like, you know, ready their halberds, like, no, stop. But she, there's no, like, sense of power, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know. I mean, individually, she could probably smoke any one of these people. Let's be real.
Yeah.
She's kind of the most powerful person in town, and I've told her this, and it's more or less true. So, in any event, she went and she was not asked to clear her name. She found out that they had been spying on her to see if she was the cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, they said that we actually are recruiting you because now the Lord's biological son has been taken.
Oh, shit. So now they're, like, giving you a quest to find the son.
Exactly. We need your help. And she was like, I need something in return. I'm like, what? And I was prepared for that. Basically, I'm baiting her with a small amount of gold and then, you know, access to a tome library under the big house.
Oh, sweet.
Which, you know, that's also going to lead to some other quests because she's going to be able to get there and she's going to be able to look at all these cool scrolls, but she's not going to be able to read them or decipher them. Where is the wizard who wrote all these scrolls? Well, somebody will have to go find them. You know,
that's awesome. branching storylines.
Yeah, there's quests everywhere in my worlds. But she's off now. She's agreed to help. It's funny because, you know, I do a lot of work to kind of make the ligaments and tendons that hold the rest of the story together. It's not all ad hoc. Like I think of it ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
And I will intentionally put some stuff in there to, like, she's never going to hear this, so I can just tell you what I have in mind. The Lord's original wife died and only died during childbirth, only giving one son. He mm-hmm. remarried to this woman for like a political power move. Mm-hmm. And gained a stepson. So the stepson's older than his biological son, but the biological right. son will be the heir to this land.
Yep.
It's important because it's between two larger powers, and it's kind of like the cornerstone keeping kind of the country, the area from war. They ferry a lot of stuff back and forth. And then mm-hmm. the whole plot here is that the children leading up to this and the son were taken, and it was made, you know, to look like the local witch took them, right?
When but it was the stepson?
No, it's actually the stepmother, evil stepmother, hired another witch, actually, mm-hmm. a black hag named the Raven, something I have it written down, to take the children and make it look like it was another in a string and make it look like Mary's character did it.
Basically, so her own son would get the throne.
Correct. But her own son is unaware of this.
Right, right.
So the big reveal...
And he's just being a little jerk just because that's how he is. But
he's not even being a jerk. He's actually offering to help. He is my way to give Mary some frontline beefiness.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So he's an NPC who's going with her.
Oh, cool.
So the first thing they're going to do is explore a ruined temple, like that's within view of the, I don't want to call it a castle because it's not, but it's within view of the walls, the parapets. And, when she gets there, she's going to find in the basement, like, you know, a handful of enemies, and they're going to be like, one of them is going to be like eating the boy's dog as roasting on a spit. So she'll know she's on the right track. And then she's going to find...
She's going to freak out that the dog is getting eaten.
Well, yeah, and I'm doing that because her familiar, which holds her spells, is her dog, and she named it after her real dog. So the interesting thing is Mary has a very well-developed voice for her dog named Orvis that they use, like, you know, they anthropomorphize him, you know. Like around the house, like,
yeah, yeah.
Hey girl, can I have some of that chicken? You know, and she has this, she has this whole voice worked up and a whole attitude and sense of being. Oh, send it to my phone. Thanks, Google. Oh, I searched for chicken on my Google Home. Excellent.
Yeah, you said, can I have some of that chicken? And then your Google Home. Suggested KFC and Boston Market.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Anyway, so I'm going to kind of play on the, like, she really loves her dog. Mary really likes that dog. And it's going to be my dog one day. And I'm not super thrilled, but to play on that, I'm going to have them eating the boy's dog. He'll be roasting on a spit.
Oh, you savage dungeon master.
Yeah, in a basement of the temple. And then if she gets past the enemy, she's going to find not the boy, but she's going to find a circle with like a clutch of black feathers scattered about. And then she's going to have nothing to do but to go back. And the captain of the guard is going to recognize what that means and point her in the direction of the Raven Hag, right?
Right, right.
That's kind of like the mini boss battle. But the big base drop note here is going to be when the Raven Hag is probably going to actually get away.
Mm.
But when she does, she's going to say, like, you know, something along the lines of... the main thing she's going to be doing is she's not going to have killed the boy yet. She's going to have all three children. She's going to be fattening them up because she's going to eventually eat them.
Oh, creepy.
Right. So she's gross and creepy, and she's fattening these children.
They haven't reached peak plumpness yet.
Right. So she's going to be acting very like sweet to them, and they're going to have this like daze over their eyes, but she's going to like look horrific, but like the children are charmed, so they're not going to know. And they're just going to be gorging themselves. And you know, when she gets away and gives up on, she'll say she's not paying me enough to do this. And then of course the character, you know, they're going to go like, who? And then she's going to say, you should know it's your mother. And then she's going to like dimension door out. Right. And leave the same circle and feathers.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna be like, oh shit, it's the stepmom. Right. And then they're going to go back and confront the stepmom, who's actually like a political player. And I'm thinking about maybe making her a spider. I don't know.
A spider?
Yeah.
How is she going to be a spider?
Illusion magic. She's just going to be a.
Oh, an shit.
Evil spider. And then like I also have other notes of maybe her trying to start like a cult as a way to take over the town.
Oh, damn.
So like once her son was in power, she could just puppet him. That makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Charm person, control him, and then she's actually building a cult with the eventual intent of summoning some sort of horrible evil.
Dude,
whether or not all this happens is up to Mary.
I want. This is a very well developed world. I want to know how the story ends. This is, I don't know, the whole like idea of like a town between two, you know, tentatively perched, you know, kingdoms, and like. The vying for the throne, and like, I don't know, it sounds like a high fantasy epic.
It's cool. I was kind of pleased with the idea of there being a sort of innocuous, not like this huge walled city, but this sort of innocuous trade town that literally sits on the road that runs between the two. And like the fact that
there's no other way of getting between the two places,
and like to kind of ensure like It exists as this really kind of, I guess, I wouldn't call it shaky, but like in the scale of things, very diminutive cornerstone that is like making everything okay, right? Because like if either side were to like, you know, take over the town, then the other side would have full justification to like war, you know?
So it's like it's the tinder that could spark into a full-blown conflict, but it's just this tiny little, you know, hole in the wall kind of place little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I like it.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. I really, it was a Saturday well spent coming up with all this stuff. It's also cool the tools you can find to like, you know, make maps and stat blocks. And I also got a gaming mat, which is sweet.
A gaming mat?
Yeah. It's a
what does that mean?
It's like a 3.5. Probably like 3.5 by 4.5 feet vinyl mat that unrolls that has a hex grid on one side and a square grid on the other.
Oh shit.
And then you can draw on it with water soluble markers.
Okay.
And then you can like, it makes it really easy to like sketch out areas. And then like once combat actually starts, you can draw out the terrain, and then square represents 5 feet. And so then there's like an actual kind of physical thing. It's not all theater of the mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds like enough to like sketch it out, but not like but also like flexible enough to like fit any situation, because you got the water soluble markers and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, there's,
did you get that from like directly from a Pathfinder site, or like was it like a third party? Like,
no, I actually went to, there's a company that makes a ton of gaming stuff called ChessX. They make a lot of they're dice mostly, if I'm not mistaken, but they make this gaming mat. I just went to a gaming store around here and I was actually looking for gaming paper, because gaming paper is like $5 a roll. It's the same concept, but it's disposable. You like use your map, you cut off a piece, you use it, and you chuck it.
There's I can see the appeal of that too, because then you could like keep the gaming sheets, like, and you could refer back to them if you wanted to keep them. Whereas like the gaming board is just like, oh, gotta wipe it off with the dry erase, and then, you know,
or the
rag,
that is a kind of an issue. What they primarily use it for, which I would love to get to this point, but it's just kind of an expensive hobby at that point, is like, so now if I were to play with, like, let's say I were to play with you guys, right, and run something, if we ever, we'll never get to that point, but if we ever did,
We will. It will happen.
We would play with miniatures. We would have little mini figurines, and it would be, the combat would be like tactical. Think like XCOM.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm the AI, you know?
Right. And like, we have like a certain number of action points to do movement.
Yeah.
And, I mean, take turns. And
that's really how Pathfinder is designed. It's designed to be played with minis on a mat, because like all the combat, all the moves, all the perks you take are like meant for that. It's not all entirely RP. And like, that's why I think it would work with us, but I never ran a game like that.
Where it was like, all mostly story based.
Yeah, it was all story based. And like, if I got to the point where it was like, hey, there's a lot of really cool story here, but all the, you know, the moments in between are like good tactical combat, I think that would pique Joe and Pete's interest maybe a little more.
We could use Pete's figurines he painted for the Dark Souls board.
That's
game.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the next step, is the minis. And then like from there you can get like terrain pieces, like you can, you know, there are like buildings you can buy and wall segments and like stone floor segments that you put on top of the grid, and like it gets nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole, it's a whole thing. So anyway, Mary is headed off to the ruined temple to see if she can find some clues.
I'm interested to see like if she stays within your kind of your framework, or keeps trying to break the fourth wall.
Well, I love that she like already is like poking at the weaknesses. Like I put that two other children had been taken, right? And I said that, you know, we initially suspected maybe a serial killer or something was in the town, but we've observed, and you know, that's not happening here.
Yeah.
You know, they've just disappeared. There's no evidence that they've been like killed.
That they're dead. Yeah.
And then Mary was like, her character was like, how are you sure? And I'm like, well, we've done a very thorough like examination. Like, there's not that many people here that we wouldn't know that. And she's like, bring me the families. And I'm like, I didn't even think of their names. Like, you know, like,
she's very thorough.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. I mean, and it's when you get into the nuance like that, like when I do this, I keep a list of names ready with blanks next to them. So I can,
just in case,
that's
a great idea.
I can pull a name, you know, and then I have a name, and then I can jot down what it is, what it was.
Right.
You know, and then they can come back around, you know? So anyway, that's that. the game I play. I really had a lot of fun. We're playing again on Friday.
That's awesome.
So
I want to hear about it.
Yes. I'll let you know where she goes and what she gets. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to put in the downstairs layer. What's going to be eating her dog. I'm thinking bugbears, but I'm not sure.
Bugbears. I don't even know what that is.
They're like the third tier of goblinoids. There's like goblins, which are small and easy, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have hobgoblins, which are like armored and smarter, and like,
yep,
they kind of prevent. So like goblins are like guerrilla warfare, and then like they'll break and run, and like they don't care if their friends are getting killed. Hobgoblins, like being on the scene, kind of like gives some tactical and like morale to the goblins. Mm-hmm. And then bugbears are like kind of the evil leaders, if that makes sense. They have like,
oh shit, so they're pretty tough then.
Yeah, they're tough. I'm throwing them at her just because I want to see what she can do. I don't really know. I can always scale it back if it, you know, I can, whatever, I don't know. She didn't take any of the spells.
Scale it back mid-combat, like,
oh yeah,
then the bugbear fell on a spear.
Oh no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, he might suddenly have like 20 fewer hit points.
Right.
So like he this next hit will put him on death's door, as opposed to him getting, you know, two more rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, the real problem that I don't think Mary is prepared for, and I don't really know how to introduce this to her yet, is that if anything gets past my meat shield that I gave to her and like actually like takes a swing at her, they're going to hit her and they're going to do damage, and like
two hits, she's dead pretty much.
I mean, it's probably three.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Bugbears hit for kind of a lot. Like they have lower armor than a hobgoblin, but they hit hard and they have a lot of health. Mm-hmm. So they're easy to hit back, but they're like big, you know, they're big muscly kind of dimwitted. Yeah. Whereas the Hobgoblin's like armored and harder to hit.
Right.
It's more effective HP, probably. Probably. I don't really know. Anyway, what I might do is just say, like, you know, I can fudge a dice roll to say that he, you know, misses it when he should have hit, or, you know, all the stuff that DMs do to make it more dramatic.
Yeah.
Or you can just roll right in front of him. And I'm not super inclined to, like, introduce Mary to, like, yep, your character died, because she spent a lot of time and effort with me working on this character.
Yeah.
So what I'd really like to do, which would be ideal for me, is if I can get her comfortable with this character and then kind of introduce her into a game with, like, maybe the rest of my family. It would be nice if I could bring this character into the game that I'm running with them.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So it's like, hey, like, we exist in the same world. That's kind of cool. Or, like, you know, have her come and save the day one time or something. Something like that.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Always nice to have a backup living in your world somewhere that you're a character you like. Because then if you die, it's like, hey, I know of this witch. Let's go find her. Yeah. So in any event, that was fun. I'm excited for Friday. It was good to get my DM juices flowing. I'll also be running a game. Every year I ask for the same thing for my birthday. I want my dad to play Pathfinder with us. And this year I think I'm going to force him to do it. So I'll let you know how that goes as well.
What does he say on your previous birthdays?
He just goes, Frank, I don't understand that stuff. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't understand that stuff.
He's never even tried.
I know. My dad's very much a dad.
This year he will.
Yeah, this year I'm going to make him. I'm going to bring the mat. It's going to make sense. I'm going to make everyone their characters. I'm going to make a bunch of characters and just say, hey, everyone pick one. Like, here, read through this. I'm going to write backstories. Read through this backstory so you know kind of what's going on. Here are your weapons. Yeah. Here are your spells. Everything's done for you. Just sit down and play with me. And we'll see how that goes.
Yes. I agree. Giving them a menu of options is better than just, like, what do you want to do?
Right. And I've also learned that, like, in no world ever has, like, all right, let's play Pathfinder. All right, first thing we do is sit down and make a character. Like, that does not work.
Yeah.
To get, you just need to give someone a character sheet, tell them what it's about, and, like, roll, get into it. And then they're going to probably love it if I'm doing a good job. And then they're going to want to make their own. And that's when you do that. So. Anyway, the video game I played. I played The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I did not play that one, so but you can. I'm not gonna play it, so you can spoil it.
Okay. I think maybe me telling you will help inform.
Yes.
Some of what you're playing. So
episode two.
Yeah, and I feel good about playing that one for this because I want to talk. I want to eventually play through, you know, the other stuff, and then talk to it with all three of us. So
yes.
But The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit is pretty good. Pretty brutal.
Did you like it?
I did. It's I don't know. So what I've learned so far is that Chris, who's the young boy, he must be like somewhere around like 7 to 12, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, he's young.
He still plays with toys,
mm-hmm.
and has an imagination.
He's a pretty small kid too. He's short.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the only child of a family. The mother was killed in a hit and run. The father is like loosely trying to keep things together.
He's trying, but he's not always succeeding.
He's a drinker.
Is that the thing? Okay. So it's like very obliquely referenced that something's going on with the dad and like things are not good, but like I did not pick choices that led me to be able to find out what exactly that was.
Right. So what from what I played, you kind of wake up in the kid's room and then like you get to click on some stuff and dad's like, hey, it's breakfast time. And then you have a conversation with dad and dad's drinking his third tall boy while making your eggs.
And it's like, yeah, it's breakfast time.
And it's like you're still in your pajamas Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, you're a little kid. You're like, do you should you be drinking beer this early? And he's like, whatever. It's game day. So he wants to sit down and watch a basketball game. And he ends up drinking. I'm not sure if, like, the Square Enix people or the Don't Nod people, like, understand. So the dad has, like, four tall boys while making breakfast. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he sits down in his chair to watch a basketball game with a bottle of whiskey and a glass.
Oof.
He sits down and then, like, he's halfway through his bottle of whiskey and he...
It started from full or...
Yeah, more or less. And then he yells to you, bring me a beer. And so then you're like, dad, like, I don't think you should drink that much. He's like, bring me the damn beer. And so you bring him the damn beer and he just slams it. And then it goes, then resumes drinking whiskey. And he ends up finishing the whiskey bottle. In any event.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So man, he's a fucking hardcore alcoholic. He's not just.
Yeah.
Not your everyday garden variety.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. You're living in this like crusty kind of house.
It almost looks like a trailer, but not. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you know, four rooms or something.
It's like aluminum siding. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
Anyway, you go and you kind of follow the kid's imagination and go do some stuff. Like you play Hot Dog Man. Is Hot Dog Man ever referenced in the rest of
No.
it? Okay. No. So I loved it. he wants to play this phone game called Hot Dog Man. Hot Dog Man Mustard Party 2 is what it's called. And when you go on the laptop in the game, the first tab on the internet that's open is the Hot Dog Man webpage. And every time you open it, the kid goes, there's my hot dog man. I close and open that like probably 7 or 8 times. There's my hot dog man.
That's a nice meme.
Yeah, there's
my a nice comforting meme.
There's my hot dog man. So yeah, I don't know. You kind of get in the mojo of Captain Spirit in order to get your bravery up to do things like, you know, fix the water eater, as the kid calls it, instead of the water heater. It's a monster. There's like a snowman in the backyard that you need to destroy as Captain Spirit in order to, you know, get some stuff. And all the objectives are really not pivotal. I think you only have to do like a handful of them in order to get dad to fall asleep.
And is that the objective, to get him to fall asleep?
No, the objective, the whole episode ends when you wake dad up.
Mm-hmm.
Because earlier during the breakfast conversation, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go watch the game. And the kid goes, well, you always fall asleep when you watch the game. And I want to go get this Christmas tree, right? A real pine.
Okay.
And the dad goes, well, if I fall asleep, you wake me up and we'll go get that Christmas tree. Kid's like, sweet. So you go, you're playing, and then like after you do a couple objectives, I think he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And I kind of got stuck, so I went and I woke him up, and then there's kind of a moment where I think he sprains his foot stumbling around drunk. And then like a concerned neighbor named Claire maybe comes over.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, if you ever need anything, we're right next door. I heard a noise. Are you sure you're okay, Chris? And he's like, yeah, no, me and my dad get rowdy when we watch the game. It's cool.
So Chris was covering for his dad then.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then the one thing I thought was ridiculous was like the dad was like, why didn't you get rid of her? And the kid was like, well, I tried. She was just saying hi. And he's like, I heard the whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, of course you did. You're like 6 feet away. it would be like if I was sitting like... On that couch right there to listening to us talk. And then I heard the whole thing.
So, yeah, Claire will definitely play a big role.
It seems that way.
Strange episode too. Yeah.
I could tell because her, you know, I don't think that they would. Her voice actor was pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know,
too good to be just a bit part player.
Exactly. Yeah. Not just like someone doing kind of a concerned elderly, I wouldn't really call it, you know, mature neighbor.
Mature.
I know what you're into, Fitz. Don't worry about
nothing. So it's interesting that like you're painting like a very different picture than the one that was painted to me anyway in Life is Strange 2. So you definitely like, you meet these two characters, the dad and the son, and there are consistencies with what you're saying, but there's also a lot of like, there's a lot of stuff that I missed like from not playing that little DLC. So that's super interesting. I think I want to wait to kind of reveal some of that stuff until you play Life Strange 2, episode 2, part 2. Now I kind of feel like I wish I would have played it. I would have filled in some gaps. I feel like it like is just very, I don't know. I could definitely tell something was wrong in the Life is Strange part of that, but it was, I don't know. I completely missed the whole alcoholism part. Mm-hmm. Like it was not nearly that serious sounding. It was just, you know, I don't know. It seemed much more tame and just kind of like, yeah, maybe there's something happening, but you know, you could understand it because the mom passed away and the dad's trying to raise a son by himself. And maybe they just have some troubles between them. Mm. Not like dad drinks a bottle of whiskey and five tall boys and shouts at his son.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complicated relationship because the dad does seem to care about the boy. He like forces him to drink some milk in the morning and makes him breakfast. And then like, if you, there's some playful stuff you can do with him, like shoot him in the head with a Nerf gun. And like, you know, he plays along. Nice. He's not like, yeah. You know, he's not like malicious.
Yeah.
Although he does ask at one point, like, how's your arm doing?
Really?
And like, and his arm is like either bruised or like is recovering from like a burn or something.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
And the kid's like, you know, you have a choice. But I was like, it was like either it hurts or it's okay. And I chose it's okay. And the kid's like, nah, like it's cool.
It's a very like nuanced take on like alcoholism and abuse and like relationship between a dad and a son. Like seems like it's very not black and white. It's very layered.
Uh-huh.
And just, there's a lot of good parts about it. There's a lot of bad parts about it. And, you know, you're not really sure if it's good for the son or not.
Yeah. I mean, like, so the dad makes him breakfast, right? But then like the kid does the dishes and starts the laundry and shovels the stairs of snow.
Mm.
And like meanwhile, dad is like drinking and watching a basketball game. So yeah. There's like, you know, they kind of take care of each other, but at the end of the day, kind of the climax of the little episode is that in his drunken kind of anger, he basically says to the kid, like, stop whining. Like, I can't bear it. Every time I look at you, I see her.
Wow.
And if it's because of you that she took the car that day.
Jesus.
And so he basically
is like, blaming the kid for the mom passing away.
Exactly. And then like, you know, obviously the kid is like traumatized and is
devastated.
Like, right. Tears welling up. And the dad is like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And the kid's like, yes, you did. And yeah. At that point he tears out of the house, doesn't even put his shoes on. He's running through the snow in his socks, goes to hide in his tree fort. And yeah. One of the rungs breaks off. And he's falling a considerable distance. It probably would have just hurt pretty bad. But that is when his like telekinetic powers kick in.
Uh-huh.
And he's able to stop himself from falling and getting hurt. And he lands gently in the snow. And when he looks up, there are two boys, both with dark hair, one taller and one about his age, that are waving at him.
Uh-huh.
And he waves back. So.
And that's the last scene?
Yes. And then it says to be continued after that.
Yep. All right.
So
I know exactly what happens from there.
Yeah. But there's like a lot of like sad stuff. Like the kid's like just playing around and like, I chose to have Captain Spirit wear heavy armor. And so to make the heavy armor, Like, I used cardboard beer can, like a container of beer cardboard from the bed of the truck, and like cut that into like armor to wear. Like, it's really sad, you know?
That's the materials he has to work with.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was really, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So, yeah.
I'm glad you told me about it, because I feel like I gained a missing piece of some more understanding into what was going on there.
Yeah. I mean, and there's other stuff that's like kind of nuanced in there that you get from reading everything. Like the dad was not able to afford the mortgage because he overspent on the wife's funeral.
Mm.
And like, cause at one point, like you're reading through a bunch of letters and it's like, oh, like the bank foreclosed on our old house. That's why we had to move.
Yeah.
And then later on, it's when you get to read the obituary and the kid goes, dad spent a lot of money on mom's funeral. A lot, you know? And then, so it's like, oh, like he overspent on a funeral and then got his house foreclosed upon. And then he started drinking, which led to him getting fired from his job as the basketball coach. And then now he has to work for the railroad company. And it's like this spiral of like,
it's really fucking sad.
It compacts a lot of life into not a lot of minutes. So
yeah.
Spoilers.
No, none of that kind of like level of detail. Like you can't go in there and read letters. I will say in Life is Strange 2, you go into that house and you have interactions with Chris and the dad. Uh-huh. But like there's none of that level of detail of like, you know, the obituary or like letters from the bank or like it's a lot quicker and superficial.
Okay.
Because they assume you played Captain Spirit. So you're definitely supplying a level of depth that just isn't there unless you play that. So I'm interested. Yeah. It'll be cool when you play Life is Strange 2, you can see how it like fits in.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's also kind of, there were a couple of nice nods in to the first Life is Strange in there as well. The artist, who is that? What was the name of that photographer? I can't remember. You know, the kind of fancy photographer who was teaching at Blackwell.
I can't remember his name.
So on one of the bookshelves in the house, one of the mom's books was a book of art photography by him.
Oh shit.
Which is a nice little nod, which I thought that
motherfucker.
Yep. And then the mother also attended that same school.
What was the school called?
I think it was called Blackwell Academy or something.
Blackwell, okay.
So she attended that same school. So there's definitely some weirdness. There's like a letter from the dean, who is the same dean who is there in Life is Strange. So he's been there a while.
Yeah. Shit.
So I don't know. It's cool. It's a neat piece. I'm excited to get into the actual game, although I'm not playing it on mouse and keyboard. I'll tell you that.
Why not?
Just because I want to sit on the couch, and I think the controller UI is good.
I totally agree. I would play it on the couch, like plug a controller in, put an HDMI cable, and put it on the big screen.
Yeah, I've got my Steam Link, so it's just like one button press away and just launch it.
Yeah,
and I didn't do it only because I've learned if I sit down on the couch after work, I will fall asleep.
Yes,
which I did not want to do today. So, Mr. Fitz, I've taken up all of the times. What'd you
Let
play,
Let me
buddy?
Have the addendum.
Yes, I'm going to grab a drink here, so just you power talk.
I will power speak. So I did my homework.
No way, really?
I played Be Calm.
Did it calm you?
Dude, it was like a... It's like the fastest download. I think it was like 40 megabytes or something. I don't know.
Okay.
A small game.
Yeah.
So there's two modes. One's like endless mode, and then one just like puts you on a 5-minute journey.
Okay.
And they're the simplest controls you could think of. Just, you know, look around with the mouse. You can take pictures by clicking. That's basically it.
Okay.
And so you're basically just kind of put on this tiny little dinghy, kind of sailboat type of thing. And
a schooner.
A little schooner. A skiff, if you will.
A skiff. Maybe the word. I think schooners are big. Skiff is maybe what I was looking for.
Schooners are fairly big. Bigger than a brig, smaller than a sloop or something.
I think together you and I might know everything.
Dude, I used to read those like Master and Commander books, and they just have like the most arcane knowledge about like 18th century like naval stuff. Ship battles and such.
A skiff is what I was after. Schooners are big real ships. Okay. So you're on a skiff.
Yeah, and it's just like this beautiful sort of surreal technicolor surrounding. It's this very strange mixture of like, it feels real, but it feels very, very far from reality too. Like, I think some reviewer described it as like, you're feeling nostalgia for something that you've never experienced or something.
Weird.
So it's like, it is very relaxing, and there's like shapes that you can definitely tell are rooted in reality. Like it looks like there's like a rain falling down, and then you can look on the sides of the boat and there's like these reeds that are poking up out of the water that are kind of like, you know, waving in the breeze, and like seems like you're passing by a bank that's like full of trees, but like all of it is like very kind of like rudimentary, and like you can't it's definitely not clear like if it's there or not, or if it's just kind of like a figment
oh my
of your imagination. And so it's just like it's just like a kind of an impression of a reed rather than it being a series of reeds, if you know what I mean. So
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what you mean, but I
you just have to play it, man.
I understand like those words, and I think I understand the idea, but like I can't visualize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things you just have to play, and it's like it'll take you 5 minutes. And it actually was like very relaxing. I super enjoyed it. I was like really stressed out that day, and I just like came home from work and like put it on and like laid on the couch and just like stared at the screen and just kind of let the boat take me away. And it was, I think my favorite part is that, like, if you select the 5 minute journey, it just like, it first of all felt like a lot longer than 5 minutes. I was like, wow, this seems like it's taking forever, but not in a bad way. Just like, I've been on this boat my whole life. kind of thing. And then it just like out of nowhere just closes. Like, you reach the end of your journey and it kind of fades out a little bit. And then it just like closes the program and you're back to your desktop screen, like which is interesting. Like, yeah. it's over. Like, you're not back to the home screen of the game. You're like, you're out of the game. You're like back to Steam / whatever was on your desktop, which like, is kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, could you ever see anyone using this like truly as like a 5 minute meditation?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, because the fact that it closes to desktop is like, I mean, you could see, you know, snap back to reality. Whoa, there goes Be Calm.
Hope there goes gravity.
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm all right. I'm going to take 5 minutes and center myself. And like, I want to hop on this skiff and go into like,
yeah,
Monet land.
I feel like that's what it's best used as, is like a little escape for the day. Like, you need, you know, you need something to kind of center your meditation and like kind of drop you out of the everyday world of cares and kind of like responsibilities, and just like, here's this thing, like, just empty your mind and just look at the thing, and like, then it's over, and then it's back to reality, and it's okay.
Huh. I kind of like the close to desktop. I'm not going to lie.
I do too. It was a nice touch. I haven't done the endless, and I'm very curious, like, how long, like, the longest is someone that's that, how long is the longest journey that someone has been able to take and, like, actually, like, pay attention and just kind of, like, be engaged in it? Uh-huh. Like, what, 1 hour, 2 hours, like, before they A, like, fall asleep, or B, just kind of, like, start doing something else? Like, what's the, how long can someone, like, meditate and just stare at Becalm? Yeah. I'm just kind of curious about that.
Huh.
Build up your meditative endurance.
Yeah. I could see that becoming, like, well, if you said 5 minutes felt like a lifetime, then...
Yeah, like, an hour to me sounds like forever. Like, I don't know how anyone would even do an hour.
Like, you would age a year in that hour.
Dude, you'd age a life age of man.
I was hoping for that. Have you played Proteus?
No.
Okay. If you're in the mood for that, Proteus is actually, it's one of my favorite games of all time. I believe it's on my top 10 list. That game is a masterclass in ambient storytelling. It's a thinker, and it takes like 40 minutes to play, maybe at most.
That's so short.
Maybe 35 minutes. It's awesome. And it's kind of, it's sounding like it has the same kind of root origin.
Is it free?
You know, I don't know. Let me check the store.
I can look it up. Oh, I can look it up.
No, no, okay. No, no, please. Please allow me.
Your interjections, please.
$10. But it's in my library, and I'd be more than happy to share.
Share your mind meld.
It is best done in like a dark room, headphones, and just like experience it and then be done with it. And then hopefully you can do that, because it's fantastic.
Wow. All right.
But it's very much in that vein. It's like you kind of have to experience it to know what's going on, and like, there's nothing even really to say about it. You just have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of defies explanation a little bit.
Yeah.
And description.
Yes. At least conventional explanation. I think you've done a good job though.
Yeah. I like how you said it was a Monet painting come to life. It did feel very like kind of an impression of what reality is, rather than like an actual, you know, attempt at recreating reality. Just like someone's, this is just kind of like a window, rather than like, this is what it is.
Like you're looking at it through someone's lens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Be calm.
So thank you for finding some random game on Steam and making me play it.
Yes. Are you glad it wasn't?
Give me an assignment.
Yes. That pornographic, that pornographic game.
What?
It's very, that porno game that we found on there.
Yeah, I remember.
I can't remember what it was called.
I tried to scrub it from my memory.
Let's find Fitz another free-to-play game. let's see. Oh my god. I'm going to avoid the visual novels. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know how to translate this. Let me quickly pull up Google Translate. Okay. Detect my language. Okay. So that is what it's called. Excellente. heck am I looking at here, peeps? I cannot give this to you. It's in Chinese.
Is there English subtitles?
Wait, is there? I need to know. Is there English language not supported? Yeah, sorry, Fitz, can't give you that one. It's very popular. Free games. Wow, there's another just one that's just in Chinese. I didn't think I would actually be able to see that.
You didn't think that would come up with your filter? Like, it wouldn't? Yeah.
I guess I was, like, thinking it would...
limit it to only English games?
Well, yeah, because, well, now Steam has Steam China.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Which is, like, you know, it okay with the government, can get stuff past the firewall thing.
Right.
But, like, looking at... Now, this only makes... In the new and trending, there is... Let's see. One, two... three of the top 15 are, like, all in Chinese.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I will find...
I got a free one for you.
Oh, you got one.
Yep, it's called Real AI's Humanity Academy.
Okay.
It's a
Real AI's Humanity Academy.
Like like artificial intelligence. Free to play. It is a action indie casual game.
Nice.
I don't know if it requires VR. It does require VR. Never mind. I saw the VR
tag. Fine. I could.
It requires the HTC Vive, which is the problem.
Oh, okay. Very specific VR.
Yes.
I will find one and I will play it.
No. Nope.
Part of my homework is to find the game.
That's not.
And I will okay. play it in
Femdom Waifu.
That's. I'm not playing that. nothing with waifu in the name.
Let's see. Let's go to the top selling. See what's happening there. Dota 2? What's that game?
What
is that game? Have you heard of Dota 2?
Sounds familiar. It's not ringing a bell, though.
I'm not going to send you on an MMORPG. That sounds ridiculous. Dungeons & Dragons Online? What?
For free?
It says play for free, which I'm not sure what that means. It's not free to play. How about Crush? Nah, it does have nudity and anime. Are you into that?
Sure. You know what? Why not?
You know what? Will you be brave and give this a try?
I reserve the right to look at it on Steam and then decide.
I don't know if I can. If I don't know if I can cotton to them, their arrangements. I mean, like,
all right.
Listen, like, you can nope out of there if it gets too weird, but I would encourage you to, like,
all right,
push.
I'll do it. I'll give it 5 minutes.
I don't know. I mean, it's very positive user reviews. I would encourage you to give it a shot. Crush on Steam.
Crush. Uh-huh. Okay.
Just give it a whirl. Get to the meat of it. Understand what's going on and come back to me.
Okay. Crush.
I'm excited.
You ready for the quote of the week?
I am ready for the Inspirebot quote of the week. Get your fun little hats with the pinwheels on top on. It's time for this week's Fitz take. This was a Fitz
picture,
take.
Picture, if you will, a very powerful storm. Looks like a tornado. It is just tearing up this empty stretch of plains with a lonely dirt road going through the middle of the foreground. There are just flying debris and, like, pieces of earth flying around. In very large, all caps, white text, block letters, "Keep calm, except..."
I really quite like that.
I do too.
I like that it's the tornado. Is it destroying anything in particular, or just like it has debris in it?
It's I mean, it's so powerful that it is literally creating a grooved track through the plains. Like it is tearing the earth out of its socket. But they were not brave enough to show a house or like any sort of human things being destroyed. It's just plains and a road.
Be calm, except I like it. Fitz, thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful adventure we call Mandate Radio.
It's a pleasure as always, my friend.
Yes. You can find us on the internet, which is, first you have to go to AOL.com and type in keyword Mandate Radio, which will take you to IndieGamesAAA.com. You can find me, your host, Frank, on Twitter. I am at Snillock74. Pete can be found at Basvik. It's BAASVIK. Fitz. We already got our Fitz take, but you know, we're kind of reworking the intros and outros. It's all right.
I jumped the gun.
That's all right. You were excited. That's cool. We've been here far longer than I expected and half as long as I wanted. So
yeah. So fuck all y'all. See you later.
Have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
In my two best friends are going to talk about the video games to me and my